Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we've got Jeremy Affeldt as our special guest, and then a tip from pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. First, we hear from Jeremy. Jeremy, it was a welcome sight today. I was watching batting practice, and Hunter Pence, for the first time, hitting on the field, and it was ridiculous. I mean, he's hitting line drives all over the place, hit a home run. I mean, he looks like he's ready to go, but what kind of a welcome sight was that for you and your teammates?
I think everybody's happy to see. Whenever you kind of have an injury like that and you're kind of sitting in the clubhouse for a long period of time just kind of taking care of business, but when you get out on the field and you start hitting, when you see your teammates start to hit live on the field, you know it's getting a lot closer to getting to where he can get some live action, seeing some live pitching and rehabbing and getting back to it with us as quick as possible, because he's definitely a force to be reckoned with in our lineup and he's protection in several different places.
It's so hard for anybody, and you've been on the DL, but for Hunter Pence, it seems like it'd be easy for him to go stir crazy. How do you deal with that mentally when you're out and you know your teammates are playing, the regular season's underway, and you're not in there?
Very frustrating time. Last year I kind of started on the DL right before the season started with my knee, and just to see guys kind of get into the fluidity of the season and kind of get going, and when you knew that you were about 20 days before you were still going to have your first butterflies of your opening season, they've been at it for like 20 some days, it's can be a very frustrating time, and you got to mentally try to approach your day with as many positive thoughts as possible based on the fact that you're going to be fighting off a lot of negative thoughts. And Hunter knows that, and he tries to stay as positive as he can. And he's up here on the bench on the road especially, but he's on the top rail here of most of the games, cheering the guys on and helping where he can. That's a good thing for him.
So other hitters try to pick it up in the lineup. What about as far as a pitching staff? When you guys lose Matt Cain and Jake Peavy, I mean, that's 40% of a rotation. Chris Heston's done a really nice job as coming up and being on this team and in the rotation. But what about everybody else? Does everybody have to kind of step up a little bit more when you know that kind of stuff happens?
I think you just have to continue making your pitches. I don't think anybody goes – there's not a starter or a reliever in the game that wants to go out there and give up a run anyway. So I don't think we step up. I think it's just – we just got to go out there and continue to execute where we execute. And if it's a starting pitcher like Heston, he's come up here and he hasn't tried to do too much. I think that's why he's been as good as he is. He hasn't felt like he had to step up to do anything. I think he just comes in, throws strikes, throws balls over the plate with movement, and tries to get him mishit the ball. And he's done a really good job that way. I think that – all of us try to maintain those things and control only what we can control. We can't control when that starter comes back or if he gets hurt or what we or whatnot. But I think that we just try to go out there and maintain what we can control. Whatever our situation is at the time, we got to try to make the best of it.
More with our regular guest Jeremy Affeldt in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
You've done both jobs of being a reliever and a starter. Can you imagine what Ryan Vogelsong has gone through? Because when he signed on with this team this year, they were looking at, okay, bullpen. Then all of a sudden he's in the rotation because of the injuries, and he has struggled. But, I wonder how difficult it is for him mentally when you have to make that adjustment.
Well, mentally it can be tough because it's two different mental approaches to the game, starting and relieving. A long guy has probably more similar mental approach to the game as a starter, but it's still not pitch one. You're coming in where they've already got their timing and rhythm over there as a hitter. You're not starting out with being able maybe to kind of, throw a lot of strikes early, kind of catch some more plate than you want to. Maybe they may not hit the ball because maybe their timing's not as good at the time, but when we come into the game, some of the games we come into, there's not a lot of mistakes that can be made a lot of times. So, I think that, the mentality change is very, very difficult to go back and forth. And I think they were trying to create as much stability as possible for him when he signed back on. And we had some injuries. So, I mean, he's the kind of guy that's done it. He's done it on this team. He's done it before. And he's done it in very successful situations. And they trust him. And he might start off slow, but there's a lot of guys that start off slow. I think once he catches his rhythm, he'll be fine.
There are times when you come into the game and you might face one hitter. tell us about that, because, I mean, you might get the guy out, you might get a base hit, you might walk him, whatever it is. You've got to live with just your whole night was spent getting ready. You go in, you face one guy, and then you're back here in the dugout or in the clubhouse or whatever it is. So how do you deal with that? Because, I mean, I'm sure you've been through it a lot, but is it ever easy to deal with that?
You know, it's just part of the job. You never know. As a reliever, we go in, and sometimes we'll have a couple innings. Sometimes we have one out. It's whatever the situation dictates. And for me, it's just becoming, you know, very trustworthy. It's trusting in your manager and in your pitching coaches to make the best decisions possible. And, you know, I kind of – for me, I fully trust Bochy. I fully trust Rags. I fully, you know, trust Gardy to get us ready, because he's going down there going over reports, and they get us prepared as much as we can for the situation that we have to go in. And sometimes it's a one out, sometimes it's a seven out. I mean, you never know. And then I go out there every time and I pitch until they take the ball away from me. So like the other night in Colorado, like one hitter and Bochy came out and took the ball from me. You know, there's been, you know, a couple times this year where I've gone out and went out again and did the best I could, and you just kind of go out there with a competitive mentality. If you go out there with an assumption that you're not going to face a guy, and you end up facing a guy, you let your guard down, and then you don't have a good mental approach. So, you know, as a reliever, we just go out there, and we throw as much as we have to throw, and we compete as long as our manager allows us to compete that day.
How much is the hitter just kind of a nameless, faceless guy in a way? Like, he's a scouting report in a way. You know what I mean? Mike Trout comes up there. Oh, this is Mike Trout. I mean, everybody's talking about how great he is. You have to block that out pretty much. So how do you approach it when you have a team like the Angels? You guys don't play them very often. And a lot of it is just based on scouting reports, not on you facing them very often.
Yeah, it's a percentage thing. I think it's a, you know, from what we see on video, for what we've been hearing, you know, maybe, you know, I trust a lot of what Buster has to say. And you have Susak, and you have Sanchez. Those guys actually – you know, when they're catching, when we come into the game, we have a high trust that they see the way they've been hitting the ball. So we have to try to go off of that a little bit too, and we have to execute our pitch. And once we execute our pitch, if he gets a hit, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. You know, I'm trying to execute as many pitches as I can as possible to trust in the catcher. We trust our catchers. I don't shake a whole lot, to be honest with you. You know, obviously we know our guys in the National League, but, you know, when it comes to the American League, I try to kind of look at percentages and scouting reports and based off my stuff versus his swing, and then you depend on Bochy to kind of match you up correctly, and you go out there and you compete. And I don't look at it as anything other than that. I'm just competing and believing in the percentages of getting you out.
That must help a lot that you aren't shaking off, because then you're not thinking about how am I working this hitter. You know, it's Posey or it's Sanchez or it's Susak, like you said, and you're more thinking about executing the pitches.
Yeah, I honestly do that. You don't see my head swiveling a whole lot. I mean, there may be a couple times if I feel like a certain pitch I want to throw because I know the guy, but most of the time I'm just looking, and I have a high trust in the catcher. And honestly, if I throw the pitch that he calls and it gets hit, I want to go look at the pitch. And a lot of times if it gets hit, it's either you tip your hat or it's maybe I threw it a sinker away, but it was up. So there's nothing Buster can do about that. Like, I need to sink her down here, not right here, you know. So most of the time the catchers are pretty accurate on what they're trying to call in that situation. It's just you need to hit your location. So I don't shake. You're right. I don't try to overthink. As a reliever, I kind of depend on the starter to set the hitters up for the rest of the game so that we're not trying to – we shouldn't have to pitch to a hitter in the sense of, like, move feet, set a guy up. Like, they should be already potentially set up. I mean, that's why a reliever comes in and just try to throw as many quality strikes as possible, and the starter gets paid a lot more money to set guys up than the reliever. So that's kind of how we go off it.
Back to Jeremy Affeldt in just a minute. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective. And get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. You know, we got a lot of technology these days, but do you ever go to the old school way? Do you ever just look at box scores? You know, how's this guy doing? Is anybody hot or not hot, box scores? And even, do you look at the standings at this point of year? I don't know if you even take a look at that.
I don't look at standings. I definitely don't look at standings this time of year, but I do – you know, like to know who's hot on the team and who's not, and who we need to pitch around, who we need to be careful with. You know, just because in some situations I come into a game, I might have, you know, five or six hitters, and if there's a, if I'm facing a righty and there's a lefty up, and this righty's real hot, I don't need to give in. I got to take my chances on not giving in right there. So I got to kind of know too, but I do. You know, I'll look to see who maybe who's struggling, who's making comments, you know, maybe negative comments in the paper about how they're feeling, just to know their mental state of mind. But most of the time, especially in the interleague stuff, I really go off of just pounding that zone as much as I can, trusting all the scouting reports and just going with it.
Before I let you go, can you imagine playing a Major League Baseball game in a stadium with no fans? They had that in Baltimore the other day. And, you know, I don't know if it was too soon to even get back to playing baseball in that city. I'm not sure about that, but it really had to be odd for the players. What did you think about that situation of the players, you know, having to play a game in that kind of deal?
I don't like it. I would not like playing in it. You know, I kind of tune out all the fan stuff when I'm pitching, but there's still that electricity, there's still that, you know, the noise in the air that kind of makes you feel in a competitive environment. You know, when it's completely silent, you can hear bats echoing and the balls popping, and you can pretty much just yell down to the bullpen to tell someone to get up. You know, that's a really tough situation for any major league athlete who's used to a certain scenario to come in and mentally do his job. And you can almost not get as competitive. Some guys would maybe don't have a problem with that. They're competing, but other guys could maybe kind of just be like, this stinks, you know. I want to hurry up and get out of here. And, you know, and so that's a very frustrating thing. You don't see a lot of, I think golf might be, tennis might be some of the quietest sports you can possibly play in, but I personally don't enjoy it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of being in the minor leagues, because I remember I did a game one time in Toledo, and I could swear the players were hearing my play-by-play calls because it was so quiet in there. It's got to be tough to have the intensity.
Yeah, it is. It's very tough. It's almost, you know, it's almost like playing a B game on the backfield, you know, where you just, you don't know if anybody's ready or not, or relaxed or not, or bored, or you just don't lock it in. I mean, your adrenaline helps with focus, and it helps with that extra oomph that you need to compete at a certain level. And if sometimes that fan center brings that adrenaline, and some guys, if they don't have it, they can get real. It can be lackadaisical. It's almost like a closer coming in a 10-0 blowout. A lot of times you see them give up runs because they don't really feel it. They're just like, they don't have that, you know, the intensity that they usually need to have because they're so used to having it, and their body's so used to having it. So I think that, you know, that was a situation in that game where it could have gone either way, and it would have been a frustrating game to play.
Well, thanks, Jeremy, for the time. Appreciate it. Plenty of energy here at AT&T Park every game, that's for sure. Good luck on the homestand.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Jeremy Affeldt of the San Francisco Giants. Want to thank him for joining us. And now we have our regular segment with pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. And just the other day, Angel, Tim Lincecum was on Inside China Basin, and he said something that was interesting. Let's listen in.
The focus needs to go on the in between the starts than it does just on the day that you start. And the preparation goes back to, you know, trying to repeat your mechanics, and that's what every pitcher tries to do. And you know, I think I've gotten better done a better job of that. Struggling a little bit out of the windup, but been working on a lot of things in between starts, like I said, just to simplify it and make it easier for myself, so I have corrective buttons to go to, so I can, you know, keep going in the game.
All right, so he says simplify it in there, Angel, and I don't know, with Tim Lincecum, you always think about his mechanics being complicated. There aren't a lot of people who can really figure it out outside of his dad. So how do you simplify it? What would you do in a case like that, Angel?
Well, I think what he's saying, first of all, he's saying two things. One is he's really working on things in between starts, and he's still working on his mechanics, which is great. And yes, he has very unusual mechanics, and he has a lot of wobble to his mechanics. So what he sounds like he's doing is he's looking for something that when he works on it, it's effective in between starts, and it's such a simple thing that when he's on the mound, if something happens and he loses his location or his velocity starts going down, that he can kick some dirt around and think about something really simple where in the moment he can make an adjustment. Pitchers need to know how to dig themselves out of a hole, and they don't do it by just pitching the way they did. So that's first of all what I think he means. if he came to me, or a pitcher, and pitchers come to me all the time with this request, like, hey, when I get in trouble, is there something I'm doing that I can think about that's not a big deal, that's not going to, you know, make me start thinking about mechanics? And always you have to look at the pitcher with respect and know that he's on the mound. This is not a time to give him reconstruction work. So what I did is I took a look at Tim's outing yesterday, and I noticed something real important for him that is kind of a cool thing because it demonstrates the important relationship of the brain, the eyes, and the hand. So what Tim does is when he – so very first of all, it's very important for a pitcher to look at his target and to keep his eyes on the target.
Sure.
Because the eyes are – but yeah, the eyes are bringing in information, and that information is actually translating into the hand. That's why we don't have to worry about missing our mouth when we drink a glass of water or brushing our teeth. It's because the information is being processed in such a way. So for pitchers, it's very important that they keep their eyes on the target and all the way through to release. And that way the ball, it has a better chance of going where you want it to go. So what Tim does is he picks up the target as he's coming to his set. But then he takes his eyes off his target, and he actually closes his eyes. And he closes his eyes for approximately 3 frames. And what that means is he's actually moving downhill towards the plate with his eyes closed. Now, if you think about his front arm, he has that cartwheel type of motion. So his arm then has a moment where it's just below his eyes. He takes a peek out of his eyes. And then the arm starts blocking his view. So what he's doing is not looking, peeking, being blocked, and then he picks it up, the target again. So one of the most simple fixes for Tim that has nothing to do with moving the arm differently is to just tell him, look at where you want to put the ball and take your eyes with that vision. And what will happen is, and this is the cool relationship between the brain and the hand and the eyes, he will look at the ball and he will automatically do what's necessary to not block his vision. And seeing the location is probably the most critical thing. Pitchers do this. Little kids always do it. And when they see it on film, they're shocked. And, of course, if you said to Tim, you don't look at the target while you're moving downhill, he would probably be very surprised. But his eyes are actually closed.
Wow, yeah, that is something. And I think of three pitchers when I think of not looking at the target in an exaggerated fashion. I mean, Louis Tiant, who actually had success, remember back in the day with the Boston Red Sox, Fernando Valenzuela, he would look up at the sky. Tiant would turn towards second base. So those guys were successful, but I also think of Nuke LaLoosh in the movie Bull Durham, who wasn't looking at the target. And we know the result with him at the beginning of the movie when he was terrible. So, I mean, you would think it would be, for most pitchers, so important to be able to make that adjustment if you had an issue like this, if you did see it on film or like we saw it in the frame by frame that you sent me, is it going to be easy for him to make that change if he decides to do it?
Well, I think what's going to happen is he'll probably think about this and look at, he's going to have to think about it in his bullpens. And the eyes are a muscle, and it's not as easy as it sounds. But here's the importance for him. As you know, his mechanics are very different. If you think of his mechanics, and if we make the analogy to driving a car, most of us drive down the street and make a left-hand turn, and we have all 4 tires on the ground. When he makes his left-hand turn, he has the 2 inside tires on the ground, and the car's on a complete tilt.
Wow.
Well, if you're going to drive that way, you better be looking at where you're going. So this is a way for him to create more consistency and also have him feel like he's more consistent. My guess is the most important thing of this whole thing, the take-home message is he needs to know he's doing it so that he consciously says, I'm closing my eyes, I like to close my eyes, and I want to continue closing my eyes. What we don't want is a pitcher doing something that universally we know. I mean, it's crazy, right? Don't look at your target. I mean, ask a policeman if he looks at his target when he shoots a gun, even in practice. So the deal is for Tim to be aware of this, and that's what pitchers need to be in the driver's seat. Be aware of what you're doing. Check it out. See if it has an effect. and then go from there to making the decision. But don't be on the mound doing something that in some ways seems crazy and you don't even know you're doing it. And that's the real take-home message here.
Yeah, and I mean, he pitched great on Sunday, but down the road, you know, that is something that he could look at and pitch even better, right?
Exactly. And plus, the way that his eyes would send a message to his body to allow him to see is going to end up in improved performance on all levels. So what you've got is a guy who used to throw harder and he doesn't throw as hard now. He used to have more control. I mean, I know he did well yesterday, but he did come, you know, he has had some rough spots. This is just one of the fine tuning things that can be so simple, and it's cool because you can do it in season and it's not like you're reconstructing or rebuilding the wheel.
Thanks, Angel. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Bye-bye.
That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. I want to thank her and Jeremy Affeldt for joining us today. Coming up on Friday, we are scheduled to talk with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.